live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What's up, people? My name is Ian Hawley. I'm filling in for Al Martin here on WKAR's Current Sports. For the next hour or so, we will be talking about all of the news that you missed over the weekend, or that you may have actually caught up on, but just want to speak your mind on. We'll be talking specifically about LeBron James and his decision to become part of the Laker Nation. And we'll also be talking some NHL free agency. LeBron James has signed a three-year, $153 million contract with the Los Angeles Lakers, with a player option in the fourth year. And we'll also be discussing some of the NBA's various free agency signings as well, such as Kevin Durant choosing to re-sign with the Golden State Warriors, Chris Paul signing with the Houston Rockets, DeAndre Jordan leaving Los Angeles finally and going to the Dallas Mavericks, and also Paul George choosing to re-sign with the Oklahoma City Thunder. As far as the NHL free agency goes, started this weekend, but there have been a lot of moves already, specifically one notable move out of the New York Islanders camp. Not good news if you're a New York Islanders fan, but great news if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. And our current sports production assistant, Jack Kerwin, is on the engineering board today in my usual spot, and he's giving me the thumbs down for that Montreal signing. And I'll give you my thoughts later on that as well. Lots to talk about today. So without further ado, let's get started. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start today in the world of college football. Michigan State received a flurry of commitments last week, but also lost another member of its 2019 recruiting class. Jordan Huff, a 2019 three-star athlete commit from Morgan County High School in Madison, Georgia, told Rivals.com he decommitted from the Spartans in a story posted this morning. Huff, a defensive back and wide receiver, is listed as the number 42 athlete and number 479 player overall in the 2019 class, according to 24/7 Sports Composite Rankings. He has been committed to Michigan State since Christmas. Huff is the second player to decommit from the Spartans' 2019 class, as four-star quarterback Dwan Mathis flipped to Ohio State on June 24th. Michigan football's recruiting run continues. The Wolverines added another piece to an ever-growing 2019 recruiting class today with the addition of three-star defensive end David Ojabo, the number 10 ranked player in the state of New Jersey. Ojabo, a 6'5", 233-pounder from Blairstown, New Jersey, Blair Academy, is a strong side defensive end prospect who picked U of M over offers from Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas A&M, Clemson, Michigan State, Tennessee, and many others. He becomes the ninth member of Michigan's 2019 class to commit since June 22nd. Eric Gray, a four-star running back, committed to the Wolverines last night. Free agent small forward Glenn Robinson III has agreed to a two-year, $8 million deal with the Detroit Pistons, a source told The Undefeated's Mark J. Spears. The contract has a team option on the second year, the source said. The deal can't be officially announced until Friday, but Robinson tweeted last night that he was headed back to Michigan, where he played collegiately for two seasons with the Wolverines. And as I said before, LeBron James' next NBA chapter will be set on the West Coast. LeBron will be playing for the Los Angeles Lakers on a four-year, $153.3 million contract. Not a small amount of chump change there for LeBron. He will try to bring the storied franchise yet another NBA championship. The announcement was made through his agency, Clutch Sports Group, which announced the deal as an $154 million deal. ESPN's Brian Windhorst reported that the fourth year is a player option. It is the longest deal James has signed since inking a six-year contract with the Miami Heat in 2010 after the famous decision. His previous three deals were 3 years or shorter, and actually some of those with the Cavs were just one-year or two-year deals. Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee are also going to join LeBron James in L.A. The Lakers agreed to one-year deals with three veterans, actually. They will pay Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the former Detroit Piston, $12 million. They'll pay Lance Stephenson $4.4 million, and JaVale McGee will get the veteran minimum at $2.4 million, according to people not authorized to speak publicly. None of those deals can become official until Friday. McGee joins the Lakers from the Golden State Warriors, with whom he won two championships and guarded James fiercely in the NBA Finals. The seven-footer played in 65 games for the Warriors last season, starting in 17 and including three games in the NBA Finals, where he got starts. He averaged 9.5 minutes and 4.8 points a game last season. Stephenson began his career with the Indiana Pacers, then played for Charlotte, the Los Angeles Clippers, Memphis Grizzlies, and the Minnesota Timberwolves before returning to Indiana last year, where he averaged 9.2 points, mostly coming from the bench. Other notable free agent signings in the NBA over the weekend: Kevin Durant signed a two-year, $61.5 million deal with Golden State. The second year of that deal is a player option. Chris Paul signed a four-year, $160 million extension with the Houston Rockets. Paul George signed a four-year, $137 million max contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And DeAndre Jordan signed a one-year, $24.1 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. The Detroit Tigers, who are now 37-48, beat the Toronto Blue Jays 9-1 yesterday afternoon to snap an 11-game losing streak. And finally, right, folks, they stopped the bleeding. The Tigers scored five runs with two outs in the fifth to take a 5-1 lead. With the bases loaded, Leonis Martin's bunt single scored Nico Goodrum. Martin suffered a left hamstring cramp running to first and left the game. He was replaced by Victor Reyes. Nick Castellanos followed with a grand slam to right center, which Castellanos' 13th home run of the season and fourth career grand slam. Jacoby Jones moved to center in the bottom of the fifth to replace Martin, while Reyes took over and left. Jose Iglesias' two-run single gave the Tigers a 7-1 lead in the sixth. James hit a two-run home run in the ninth, and Castellanos would have had a multi-homer game, but was robbed of one on a leaping catch by Jays center fielder Kevin Pillar in the ninth, and that was actually a fantastic catch. Castellanos clapped afterwards for Pillar, showing his approval of the play. The next game for the Tigers will be today, it just started at 1:07 p.m. Over the weekend, the Detroit Red Wings added depth on defense at forward and in goal. They re-signed defenseman Mike Green for 2 years, $10.75 million, brought in free agent goaltender Jonathan Bernier on a three-year, $9 million deal, and brought back free agent forward Thomas Vanek for 1 year at $3 million. All three fill needs for the wings. Bernier will share the net with Jimmy Howard. Bernier, I'm getting corrected. Thank you, sir. Bernier will share the net with Jimmy Howard. Green provides much-needed offense from the back end, and Vanek is a consistent 20-goal scorer who will help a team desperate for production. The Wings will now shift to re-signing restricted free agents Dylan Larkin, Anthony Mantha, and Andreas Athanasiou, as well as the 2018 first-round pick Philip Zadina. And now we have a World Cup update brought to you by our very own production assistant, Connor Mathis. We've had a lot of action here over the weekend. Connor, what can you give us today?
All right, so today the bad luck continued for Mexico as Brazil defeated them 2-0 to advance to the quarterfinals with goals from Neymar in the 51st minute and Roberto Firmino in the 88th. The loss marks the seventh straight World Cup in which Mexico has failed to advance past the round of 16. And later today, Belgium will face off against Japan with the winner taking on Brazil in the quarterfinal.
All right, thank you, sir. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. There are multiple ways in which you can be a part of today's show. Call us at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can tune in at AM 870 or 101.5 FM if you're in the Lansing area. If not, you can go to my Facebook page, and I've got my live stream up and running. And we've also got our Twitter page, WKAR_sports. You can tweet that, and our wonderful production assistants will do their best to respond to all of your comments. And you can tweet me directly, at Ian Hawley, WKAR. All right, without further ado, let's get to it. Monday, and LeBron is no longer in Cleveland. Sadly for Cleveland Cavaliers fans, LeBron James inked a $153.3 million deal for at least the next 3 years with the Los Angeles Lakers. Magic Johnson, at least at this point, doesn't have to worry about resigning, although he said over the next 2 years I will bring in top free agents, so he's not out of the hot water just yet, but this is a great place to start for the Lakers with LeBron James. As I said, $153 million, huge contract for LeBron, but really the four-year commitment is what's catching most people's eyes. With his last few contracts in Cleveland, he only inked 1 or 2 year deals at a time, and that was probably in part due to his relationship with Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert. But firstly, LeBron thanked Cleveland in his Instagram story over the weekend, saying, "Thank you, Northeast Ohio, for an incredible four seasons. This will always be home." So, LeBron is at least leaving on a good note with the fans this time. I haven't seen any ridiculous jersey burnings. Although that doesn't mean it's not out there, you know, just because I haven't seen it. A lot of very passionate fans in Cleveland, so I wouldn't put it past them. But LeBron will join the likes of Jerry West, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, and Shaquille O'Neal as members of the famous Laker family. And the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, actually tweeted his excitement and welcomed LeBron James to the Laker family over Twitter, saying, "Welcome to the family at King James, hashtag Lakers for life, hashtag strive for greatness. And then he went on to thank the executives of the Los Angeles Lakers for securing LeBron in that deal. So, where does Cleveland stand now after LeBron left? Well, they missed the opportunity to get rid of their next best player in Kevin Love with any possible trades. And they don't really have a lot coming for them from the draft. They have Colin Sexton through that deal with the Nets, who I actually really like. I watched him play a lot this past season for the University of Alabama. And despite my hatred for the Crimson Tide, I was actually very impressed by what I saw from Colin Sexton, especially in the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. So I think they'll be okay with him, at least. I think he's a good pickup for them. Larry Nance Jr. is also going to do some great things for them, provided they can keep him around. But they really don't have a lot else going for them, and they don't have a lot of cap space to work with. But I think that Dan Gilbert really was the proponent of this, was the catalyst that sparked this whole thing. It's obvious that LeBron never had a lot of faith in the Cleveland Cavaliers just based on the way he went about signing his contracts. I mean, if you look at the deal that he did with the Miami Heat, it was a six-year deal with a player option after the fourth year, pretty long-term for the likes of a superstar like LeBron James. And then he goes back to Cleveland, and he's only signing 1 or 2 year deals at a time. And I think that's a direct reflection of the insecurities that he felt with Cleveland. And it also speaks to the faith that he now has in L.A. in signing this four-year deal with a player option after the third year. I think the trust level in Dan Gilbert and Cleveland was obviously lower, and it could be in part due to that scathing criticism that Dan Gilbert wrote of LeBron back in 2010. And for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with that, I'll read some of that to you now just so you can get an idea of the kind of tension that LeBron was working with while in Cleveland with Dan Gilbert. So Gilbert wrote an open letter after LeBron James's original decision in 2010, which he, when he had his hour-long The Decision special, which I personally was not a fan of, and it became very clear that Dan Gilbert was not a fan of either. He says, "Dear Cleveland, all of Northeast Ohio and Cleveland Cavaliers supporters, wherever you may be tonight, as you now know, our former hero, who grew up in the very region that he deserted this evening, is no longer a Cleveland Cavalier. This was announced with a several-day narcissistic self-promotional buildup culminating with a national TV special of his decision, unlike anything ever witnessed in the history of sports and probably the history of entertainment. Clearly, this is bitterly disappointing to all of us." Gilbert goes on to criticize LeBron even more, saying he betrayed Cleveland, calling it a cowardly betrayal. And he actually went on to say that Cleveland was going to win a championship before LeBron and the Miami Heat. Now, obviously, that did not happen. And the only way that Cleveland secured a championship is by bringing LeBron back. But I don't think LeBron ever forgot about that from Dan Gilbert. And it was clear in the reports of their relationship that there was always some tension and that LeBron never really felt comfortable around Gilbert or some of the other members of the staff. Looking forward, though, Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee are also set to join LeBron in L.A. I'm not sure about those pickups as far as talent level goes, but money-wise, they definitely make sense, especially with the one-year deals that they both received. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope also signed a one-year $12 million deal to secure some wing help for LeBron, which is really what the Lakers need, and they added Stephenson as well to that position. So their three-point shooting should improve, but they were one of the worst in the league last year as far as three-point shooting goes, and they could definitely use another pickup in that area. There's been a lot of talk as to whether Kawhi Leonard will take his talents elsewhere or stay with the Spurs. He's been reported as saying that he really would like to end up in Los Angeles. However, LeBron is not pressuring L.A. to sign Kawhi or others by committing to at least 3 years. You know, if he had signed another one-year deal, that would have put a lot of pressure on Magic Johnson and that Lakers organization to bring in a star and bring them in quickly. But LeBron's saying, nope, I'm in it for the long haul, at least for the next 3 years, and I'm going to try and bring a championship to the city of Los Angeles and the faithful fans of the purple and gold. So now the question is, where will Kawhi Leonard end up? You know, we've seen superstars that were reportedly thinking about leaving to go to the new LeBron James destination. We've seen them re-sign with their teams, most notably Paul George. He signed a contract extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder, choosing to stay there with Russell Westbrook, and he'll be there for 4 years, getting paid a max contract of $137 million. So a good pickup for Oklahoma City, or not a good pickup, a good re-signing for Oklahoma City that will at least cement part of their team. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Carmelo Anthony in that whole situation, but that's a different can of worms. Also, Kevin Durant chose to re-sign with Golden State. It was reported last week by Stephen A. Smith that he received a text from LeBron James asking him to come to Los Angeles with him. And, you know, privately it was reported that Kevin Durant said, you know, why would I want to do that? I'm happy in Golden State, won two championships in a row, been the finals MVP, so I'm good where I am. And he's reported to be signing a two-year, $61.5 million deal with Golden State. However, there is a player option the second year of that deal. So Kevin Durant, at least for one more year, will be staying with Golden State. Chris Paul would have been another interesting pickup for the new LeBron James group, but he signed a four-year, $160 million extension with the Houston Rockets. So again, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So now the major player is Kawhi Leonard. He is currently about to start his fourth year of his five-year, $94 million contract with the Spurs. And in 2019, he will have a player option. So even if he doesn't get traded this year, he could opt out next year and potentially join LeBron in Los Angeles, where he has said he would like to end up. I've also heard reports today that the Spurs have been talking with the Philadelphia 76ers about a possible trade for Kawhi Leonard. I think it said they wanted three first-round picks and two players for Kawhi, which is a huge give-up if you're Philadelphia in that situation. But it might be worth it in adding a superstar to your roster. And Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons were not two of the players that that were part of those negotiations. So they would be securing those other two superstars along with a third in Kawhi Leonard. And that would actually do wonders for Philly now that the East doesn't have to worry about LeBron James. I'm thinking it's pretty much a two-dog race between Boston and Philadelphia next year. But if Philadelphia could somehow secure Kawhi Leonard, that would do wonders for them in their title hopes, and at least in their Eastern Conference Finals run. As I said, with Boston, Kyrie Irving kind of saw this coming and got out a while ago. They've got some star players now, some good young players in Jason Tatum and others. So I think, again, they are the other dog in the Eastern Conference now that LeBron has gone on to the West. So tell me what you think, current sports listeners. 517-355-9527, excuse me, is the number to call. That's 517-355-WKAR. Would love to get your opinions on this LeBron James move and who you think will be the top dog in the Eastern Conference now that LeBron is gone. Looking at the Western Conference, I still don't think the Lakers have enough to contend at this point with a team like the Warriors or the Houston Rockets, or maybe even the Oklahoma City Thunder, depending on what other kind of moves they make. But now that they've re-signed Paul George, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are even still ahead of a LeBron James-led Lakers team if the roster were to stay in its current position. I just don't think the Lakers have enough wing firepower and three-point shooting prowess to contend with a team like the Golden State Warriors or the Houston Rockets, who can just rain down the threes whenever they want, really, with various players on either of those teams. You know, James Harden and Chris Paul, two fantastic guards who have been doing it up for the Rockets the past couple years. And the same thing goes for the Golden State Warriors. I don't need to mention Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. Kevin Durant has been doing fantastic things on both sides of the floor for them for the past two seasons. So at this point, there's just not enough with LeBron James to overcome either of those teams. Jack Kerwin, you've been following this, I'm assuming, pretty closely over the weekend. How do you feel about this LeBron James trade, whether it be the deal itself, the numbers that are involved, and how do you feel about the Lakers' now chances of becoming a contending playoff team in the West?
Well, I think you touched on it a little bit. I certainly agree with you that they're definitely still behind the Golden State Warriors. As far as the deal itself, I almost think it doesn't matter. When you got an opportunity to bring in LeBron James, you bring him in for any price. They're still at least another player away. I've seen Boogie has been linked to them as well. Mm-hmm. I just don't see a trade for Kawhi really materializing for the Lakers. And like you said, you know, I still think I don't know about the Rockets, but they're certainly still behind the Warriors, and you could certainly make the case that they would struggle in a best of seven with the Rockets as well. So mm-hmm. Progress for the Lakers, but I don't think they're there yet.
Very fair, very fair. As you said, there's still a little bit of work to be done if they do want to bring in Kawhi Leonard. If they stay in their current position and they hold on to the rights for Julius Randle, they hold on to the rights for Julius Randle, that only leaves them with about $2 million in cap space available. However, if they renounce the rights to Randle and they waive forward Luol Deng while stretching the remaining 2 years of his contract, that would get the Lakers to nearly $25 million in cap room, although that doesn't necessarily seem worth it to waive Deng and stretch out his contract if they're only signing players to one-year deals. In that case, I think it might actually be better to keep Deng's salary on the books in case it can be cleared more easily via a trade next summer as an expiring contract. Most likely, the Lakers will either look to re-sign Julius Randle for a lucrative one-year contract. They can offer up to his maximum salary of $25.5 million, which would still leave them with plenty of room to avoid the luxury tax, or they could use the $12.4 million Randle counts against the cap on another one-year free agent. After all, the Lakers really do have to weigh any multi-year offers against what they might be able to do in free agency this time next year. So, as Magic Johnson alluded to, it's probably going to be a two-year process for the Lakers, but it'll be interesting to see where they go moving forward with Kawhi Leonard, what the Spurs will be able to do in getting a good trade for Kawhi Leonard, and how he will feel ending up wherever he ends up. I mean, he's made it clear that his number one option is Los Angeles. That's where he wants to be. And LeBron James has clearly wasted no time waiting around for another star player to sign with the Lakers. He's making the move himself, and he's trying to attract some other top talent, such as Leonard, to the purple and gold. All right, that does it for our first segment of Current Sports. Again, 517-355-9527. If you want to weigh in on anything you've just heard me say, please give me a good argument as to why you think this was a good move for LeBron. I think this was a bad move for LeBron. I'd love to get your thoughts, Current Sports listeners. We'll be right back after the break. All right, we're back here on WKAR's Current Sports. My name is Ian Hawley, filling in for Al Martin while he's away this week on vacation. We just finished up our first segment talking about the LeBron James trade to the Los Angeles Lakers. $153 million over the next 4 years with a player option after the third year. Big stuff for the Lakers, big stuff for LeBron, and a huge shakeup for the NBA's two conferences. Changing gears here, we're going to move on to NHL free agency. I have with me in the studio Alec Rio, one of our fantastic Current Sports production assistants. And as I mentioned earlier, Jack Kerwin, one of our other production assistants, is managing the board for me today in my usual spot. And they're going to tell us a little bit about the free agency craziness that's happened so far over the weekend. So, Alec, I'll start with you. Let's just focus on the big picture here for a second. There was a trade that came out of the New York Islanders camp, or not a trade, excuse me, a deal that came out of the New York Islanders camp over the weekend, but not necessarily one that the Islanders thought was going to happen or even wanted to happen. Can you tell me a little bit about who that was and why this was such big news for the NHL?
Well, this kind of gave me like little hints of when LeBron decided to take his talents to South Beach. It kind of came out of nowhere. And Tavares, he just left because he wanted to go play for his childhood team. And me, I'm not like too concerned about that. I mean, because bias, you know, it doesn't really affect me. But the Islanders fans especially were really mad about this. I saw Twitter pictures and videos of them burning his jersey in protest. Tavares just decided during the first day of free agency that he didn't want to be on the Islanders anymore. He promised the New York Islanders, like in the beginning of the season, that he wanted to stay there and that he was devoted to the franchise and the fans of the franchise. And so they didn't trade him because of that. And then he goes on in free agency, first day free agency, and decides to go to Toronto with Mike Babcock and all the rest of the young core there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that scares me now because Toronto, they've already been a good team. Their young core and Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, and plenty more, they are now scary. And now that they got Mike Babcock, or they've had Mike Babcock as coach, and they're going to be a very big factor in the playoffs in this up-and-coming season.
John Tavares, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And why was it – I mean, why do you think he – was so coveted in the NHL among other teams? What has he been doing for the Islanders recently that's really raised his free agency stock?
Well, he's a very reliable leader. He's a very proficient goal scorer and playmaker. They've only made it to, I believe, the first round like once mm-hmm. in the last like few seasons that he's been in the NHL. And so like, he hasn't really had that great of a team built around him. Mm-hmm. And now that he's on Toronto, I feel like he's going to have a lot better of help on the team compared to what he's dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that team will be better at managing his leadership skills. And mm-hmm. they have a core of young players to work around. And it's only up from here. And I really do think that Toronto will be a really good fit for him.
So it's kind of reminiscent of the LeBron deal. You know, didn't have really anything around him, but he was a superstar, and mm-hmm. then chose to go to a young team that could afford to pay him a little bit more. Is that correct?
Yep.
And with the Toronto Maple Leafs, how greatly does this improve their chances of making a big run in the playoffs? Where were they before, and where are they now with this new player Tavares?
Well, they're coming off a disappointing playoff run last year. Their team is still relatively young. They still have a lot of young talent, and they're still progressing mm-hmm. right now. They still have a lot more room to grow as players. They did recently pick up Patrick Marleau. Mm-hmm. He's a very old veteran, and he's a very good leader. And he's still like in his age, he still can score. He can still make plays, and he can still, you know, give plays because they made the Stanley Cup Finals a couple of seasons ago, and he has the leadership capabilities to lead their team along with John Tavares. Now, they have a really good team that has coaching staff that has been to the finals before and has won. Mike Babcock won with the Red Wings in 2008, mm-hmm. and he has the capability to make with this team. They have the power to make it very far in the playoffs, I believe.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jack Kerwin, I'm sure you've been following this. You're a huge NHL guy. What do you think of the pickups or the signings
for the Detroit Red Wings so far over the weekend, and where do you think they go from here?
You know what? I'm not a huge fan, to be honest with you. You know, three signings, backup goaltender Jonathan Bernier definitely makes sense on that one. Jimmy Howard's only got a year left on his deal, so it's smart to bring in a goalie who's had some experience as a starter before. He was the Leaf starter a few years ago, and he split time with Semyon Varlamov in Colorado as well, dating back the last couple of years. But, you know, the other two didn't make a ton of sense to me. And we got Mike Green. We retained him on a two-year deal worth thereabouts of, I believe, $5.25 million a year. Mm-hmm. So high in money, but low in term. So that aspect of it is good. And then we brought back Thomas Vanek as well, one-year, $3 million deal. And to me, neither of those moves make a ton of sense simply because the Red Wings had Thomas Vanek just a couple of years ago, two seasons ago. The first year they missed the playoffs, they signed him to a one-year deal. He'd just been bought out. You know, this guy's been a prolific goal scorer, and he really struggled the year before with Minnesota. So they bought him out, you know, citing reasons of he'd always been kind of a lazy player, doesn't really back check much, but he's offensively gifted. So the Red Wings brought him in, and he had, I believe it was 38 points in 48 games. So he had a very good half season for the Red Wings. But then when the Wings went to trade him at the deadline, all they received was a third-round pick in the upcoming draft and a 25-year-old career NHL defenseman. And consider this was 2 years ago when Vanek was only 32 years old. He's 34 now. So I can't imagine that the Red Wings, who I imagine will struggle again this year, I don't see us contending for anything substantive, substantial, I should say. I don't see the reason in bringing him back just because I didn't think it was a great haul for him then 2 years ago, and I can't imagine it'll even be that good this year. So I would have, you know, preferred to give that spot to a winger, to a young winger coming up through the organization. You know, Michael Rasmussen, Philip Zadina, our last two first-round draft picks, should have every opportunity to make the team, and I'm a little skeptical. I think that signing could certainly kind of restrict one of them, kind of handcuff them from starting the season out in Detroit.
Are there any other big-name prospects that the Red Wings are looking to pick up or any of their own players that they're looking to trade during this free agency?
Trade, that should be interesting. They've fielded some calls on Andreas Athanasiou. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an interesting player just because he's certainly talented, but the coaching staff has had trouble getting through to him the last couple of years. And, you know, he's kind of like Thomas Vanek, honestly. He's a little bit lazy. He doesn't play in his own zone very well. He doesn't back-check much. So, you know, teams have called about him, and I'm certain should the Red Wings run into trouble again next year, they'll look to move Gustav Nyquist at the deadline. But for now, you know, the only player I could really see getting moved this offseason would be Athanasiou, preferably, I think, in Ken Holland's mind for a young defenseman. But, you know, we'll have to see.
Okay. So, Alec, with these new acquisitions or these new signings that the Red Wings have just gotten, Where do you see the team finishing up this year? How much does this improve their chances of you know, coming out of the bottom of the ranks from the NHL where they've been the past couple of years, or does it not help their chances at all, or does it hurt them?
Well, I really don't think it's going to help in the in this season that much because we're still a very young team, and Ken Holland has finally embraced that we're in the rebuild stage. Mm-hmm. So I still think that it's going to take a couple more seasons before we go back to the playoffs again. I'm not okay really with the Thomas Vanek signing because now he's 34 years old and he's just slightly older than he was. And even when he was playing with us 2 years ago, he was producing. He had 15 goals and 23 assists, and he was doing all right, but he was quiet, like, remotely, especially after he had that hip injury 7 games into the season. And right after that, his line mates, Nyquist and Helm, grew very quiet after that. And he's growing, like, great chemistry with Franz Nielsen and Athanasiou before he got traded. But now that he's older, he's going to be slightly slower, you know. Mm-hmm. But I still think that, like, he can still provide something to our team. And Jonathan, with the signing of Jonathan Bernier, it's someone to complement Jimmy Howard. And it's someone to have, mm-hmm. rather than just like someone in the AHL. I'd rather have Bernier, who is an experienced NHL player, than someone coming up from the AHL. And also, with that being said, after a great draft, I'm meh about the signing so far. But I mean, there's not really much that can go on unless we get some superstar in some hypothetical trade. Mm-hmm. But I really don't see us getting that much better within the next like 3-4 seasons, unless we get our, you know, our prospect pool to develop, and that's where I see us improving the most. Mm-hmm. Is like just trusting our young kids and just letting them grow.
So the Red Wings won't improve next much over the next few seasons. You think they'll stay towards the bottom of the list in the NHL?
I think it'll be roughly the same as what we saw last year. Mm-hmm. I don't really see us improving that much mm-hmm. over the next couple of seasons. But hey, I mean, it's only up from here.
There you go. Jack, what are some of the other big name trades or signings that you've been watching over the weekend that have caught your eye?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, when a player like John Tavares, and this is really unprecedented in the history of the NHL, this is the biggest free agent move that the NHL has really ever had because, you know, any way you look at it, he's a top 10 player in the league who's right in his prime at 27 years old. This has really never happened. A guy like this has moved teams. So it's been interesting, kind of the domino effect that's resulted because of Tavares moving, especially to Toronto. You know, seeing James Van Riemsdyk moving back to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a 5-year deal for him. So, you know what, I like that move as well. And I think the other thing to watch out for will be Erik Karlsson, who's got 1 year left on his deal in Ottawa. Ottawa Senators are going nowhere quick, and they don't have a first-round pick in next year's draft. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to move him either now or at the trade deadline, because I don't anticipate them competing for anything. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. Vegas had emerged as a front-runner to land him, you know, within the last week. But I haven't really heard much since then. So that's kind of the one thing I'm still looking out for, you know, just like NBA or really NFL, you know, the first day of free agency is certainly the biggest day because, you know, the big names don't stay on the market very long. So, you know, the names that people recognize are pretty much all off the books, but it'll be interesting to see if Karlsson gets moved between now and the start of the year.
So do you think the Tavares move was bigger than the Gretzky move to Los Angeles? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's hard to say because for one thing, he was traded. You know, it wasn't free agency. If you're speaking of to the Kings, I presume, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, it's a little different. But the one thing I will say in my mind is the Toronto Maple Leafs moving forward will be the favorite to win the Stanley Cup next season. I think Tampa would be their greatest opposition, who they'll probably face in round two, just because of the great way that the NHL playoffs are structured. Sarcastic, but no, I think in my mind that yes, this is. Not quite at the magnitude of Wayne Gretzky because John Tavares is not Wayne Gretzky. But in terms of free agency, this is the biggest move that's ever happened.
So Toronto is now the favorite to win the NHL in your mind?
Yes, in my mind.
And Alec, who do you have based on the free agency craziness that we've seen so far? How do the teams stack up?
I definitely think Toronto is up there now with all the assets that they have and the coaching leadership that they have. I also think Pittsburgh has a huge chance. They've always been favorites. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Washington, they've been doing so well under the leadership of Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and their supporting cast. The Golden Knights, I also see as mm-hmm. some more favorites coming off of their really good inaugural season.
I was going to say, do you think they can sustain that kind of production that they have, or do you think teams will have their number now as far as their strategy goes?
There's a lot depends on, and he's now a restricted free agent, William Karlsson. He's mm-hmm. coming off a absolutely amazing season off his first year with the Golden Knights. I mean, most likely he'll come back to that team, and I really think that he's crucial to their success.
Mm-hmm. Jack, what do you think the Washington Capitals need to do during this free agency period in order to win another championship next year?
Well, I think the damage has already been done when you talk about the Washington Capitals. Them losing their head coach, Barry Trotz, wasn't in love with it at all. Not truly surprised by it. I mean, there had been rumblings. It was about the worst kept secret in the world that if the Washington Capitals did not have more playoff success this past season, they were going to let Barry Trotz go. And they turned around and won the Stanley Cup. And as a result, Barry Trotz just left anyway because he cited that the front office never really believed in him. Mm-hmm. So I'm not big on the Caps next year, to be honest with you. I think they're going to struggle. They're going to have a championship hangover, and I think they'll struggle to even make the playoffs because, you know, the Metropolitan Division that they play in isn't as loaded as it used to be. Really, the Atlantic, the one that the league that the Maple Leafs, Bruins, Lightning, Red Wings, Buffalo Sabres now are all in. That's certainly the most competitive league in the NHL. But I mean, you still have quality teams in their division. You know, Pittsburgh Penguins just won back-to-back cups before last season. You know, Columbus Blue Jackets are certainly an up-and-coming team. team as well as the Carolina Hurricanes. So, believe it or not, I could really see the Capitals struggling to get that three seed or even a wild card spot next season, to be honest with you.
Speaking of Columbus, did you like the 3-year deal that they did with Riley Nash?
Riley Nash. You know what? I think if I recall right, he had 41 points last season. So, you know, a decent depth signing. But, you know, it doesn't move the needle for me too much when their competition is, you know, I mean, you know, the Maple Leafs aren't obviously in their division. They're in the other division in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, decent move, but, you know, it doesn't move the needle too much for me.
Okay. Very fair. Well, thank you, gentlemen. That's all we have for the NHL free agency. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, I'll give you my weekend winners for the weekend and some of my weekend losers as well. And we might even talk a little hip-hop. I see Tamar back in the back there. I might invite him in to give me some thoughts on the new Drake album and beyond. You're listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm Ian Hawley. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name is Ian Hawley, filling in for Al Martin this week while he's away in Florida on vacation. Al, if you're listening, I hope you're doing well. Give my love to the family and enjoy that beautiful warm weather down there. We just finished up our second segment talking about the NHL free agency moves that happened over this weekend. Thank you to Alec Rio and Jack Kerwin for helping me hold that down. As Lord knows, I'm not an NHL guy, so I wouldn't have been able to do that without you guys, so thank you. We have Tamar Davis in the studio, another one of our production assistants here on Current Sports. And Tamar, I just want to get your thoughts real quickly on the LeBron James signing. We didn't have you in the studio during that first segment. Want to know what you think. $153.3 million over the next 4 years with a player option after the third year. Do you think this is a good move for LeBron? Do you think this is a bad move for LeBron? How do you feel about this trade?
I think it's a great move for LeBron. Actually, it caught me by surprise seeing that he signed for 4 years because usually, like, the last 2 years he's been with the last 4 years, he's been with Cleveland, and it's been a 2-year contract with the player option. Mm-hmm. So seeing that he signed 4 years seems to me that he really wants to be in L.A., and it gives him the ability to make sure that he can also say that he's maybe better than Jordan if he wins a championship in L.A.
So do you think this, if he wins one more championship in Los Angeles, you think he's better than Jordan?
Well, I wouldn't say that he would be better than Jordan, but there most definitely will be a conversation because I don't think the conversation right now is legit. Mm-hmm. But if he goes to Los Angeles and brings home a championship for the Lakers, you have to discuss it there.
That's fair. What do you think this move to Los Angeles will do for LeBron's legacy? I mean, we're clearly not seeing anything like the last time he left Cleveland where people are out in the streets rioting. But I still don't know if it's the best move, especially since he's leaving the Eastern Conference and going into the Western Conference. I don't think it's going to be any easier for him. I think it's actually going to get worse as far as his percentages of being able to win another championship. What do you think about that?
Well, that's the thing. You already said it. The West is way more competitive than the East, so you don't have anybody else saying that, oh, LeBron just cakewalked to the finals in the Eastern Conference because there's no competition over there. This way, he has the opportunity to prove to everyone that he's the king, that he's the best in the league.
Mm-hmm. So you think this will actually help his legacy?
Oh, yes. I really do.
How likely do you think it is with this current roster that LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers make it to the NBA Finals? Barring any other moves with this current roster.
All right, yeah. Well, I don't think that their team is able to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series right now. I think that they're able to beat the Rockets, though.
How many games do you think it goes? 7?
With the Rockets?
With the Rockets.
I can see it going 6 or 7. I can see it going 6 to 7.
That's fair. If you had said they beat them in 4, I would have called you crazy.
Absolutely not.
And Kawhi Leonard is now the other big piece in this whole deal. As I mentioned earlier, there were reports coming out that the Spurs had been in talks with Philadelphia about possibly trading him there for a few players and a few picks. But Kawhi has made it known publicly that he wants to end up in Los Angeles. Now, he's still locked into his contract. Technically, this year, he's in that fourth year of his five-year deal, although he has a player option after this season is done. How likely do you think it is that Kawhi Leonard ends up in Los Angeles wearing the purple and gold?
I think it's very likely. Kawhi, he's a genius. The cards are in his hand at this point because he's already told San Antonio that no matter what, he's going to go to Los Angeles. So that puts San Antonio and Greg Popovich in a, you know, in a weird situation, because if they try to trade Kawhi to, let's say, Philadelphia or Boston, they won't be able to get like great pieces back. So it's kind of like a lose-lose situation for San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's why they've been really trying to explore this 76ers deal. Although Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons reportedly are not going to be part of that deal if they do trade for Kawhi. So that would definitely help the 76ers case in the Eastern Conference. Although so let's say Kawhi does go to Los Angeles, doesn't go to the Eastern Conference, who do you think is the front runner to come out of the East now that LeBron is gone? I mean, it's been LeBron for the past eight seasons, whether he's been in Cleveland or Miami. We're finally going to see somebody new out of the East. Who do you think that will be?
Oh, it's Boston, hands down. They've been silent this entire time throughout free agency and, you know, throughout the draft process. They've been mighty silent in making moves. And like you said, like, we didn't see Kyrie, and we didn't see Gordon Hayward, you know, show their talent in the playoffs. And you see how far they went in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They almost made it to the finals. Mm-hmm. Game 7 against LeBron, that's pretty impressive. So,
do you think with Kyrie Irving being fully healthy and Gordon Hayward coming back, do you think that will mess with any of the chemistry that those young players have built? Or do you think they will complement the chemistry that those young players have now?
It's possible, but I think it's all about the mindset of those young players that they have.
Mm-hmm.
If Kyrie just comes in and makes sure that everybody eats and gets the opportunity to, you know, display their talents, then I believe that Kyrie and Gordon can really complement those other players. Or those other players can complement Kyrie and Gordon.
There you go. So it's Boston out of the East for you. Are the Warriors still the top spot in the West?
Oh, yeah. The Warriors are still, you know, light years ahead of everyone else.
Despite the huge loss of JaVale McGee?
Yes, yes. Because that's the opportunity for another, let's say, big man like Dwight or DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I know DeAndre Jordan is in, you know, the works with Dallas right now. But, you know, Clint Capela is a restricted free agent as well, so I don't know who's going to grab him, but the Warriors are in a search for a big man right now that could really complement that team.
Mm-hmm. I've heard DeMarcus Cousins has been in talks with the Pelicans and others. Do you think he ends up staying there, or do you think he makes a move as well?
I could see DeMarcus Cousins staying in New Orleans, but it all depends on the team's trust in him, because coming back from that Achilles injury can be really, really, really shaky. I know he's been in talks with the Lakers as well, so I don't know, you know, where his mindset is. But if it's to win a championship, I would say, you know, look other places instead of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the two-man system that they have down low with him and Anthony Davis, or do you think that they take up too much space from each other?
I like it a lot, but as you can see in the season before DeMarcus Cousins was injured, you know, they needed a backcourt. I know people say Drew Holiday is very underrated, and I do believe that he's underrated, but you still need a great point guard that can score and mm-hmm. facilitate at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And Rondo is someone who can facilitate, isn't really a threat in scoring.
Mm-hmm. One last question for you, sir. How do teams catch the Warriors? What I mean, the Rockets were pretty close last year. Again, obviously, I don't think the Lakers are anywhere near where they need to be, even with LeBron to beat them in a seven game series in the playoffs. But how can teams like the Rockets, who are pretty close, close that gap and potentially get over the hump into the NBA Finals over the Warriors?
You have to be able to sign players that are able to play the wing, able to shoot, and have high IQ, and that's very hard to find. So the Rockets, they already lost Trevor Ariza, and that was someone who was a vital piece to their team. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to find another wing and another player that can really play defense on positions 1 through 4, honestly. And I guess the easiest way to say is to find superstars who are willing to take pay cuts.
There you go. I know I said one more question, but I lied to you. Do you like the fit of Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee with LeBron James and the Lakers now?
I don't know.
I mean, we've seen all this tension between LeBron and Lance Stephenson before. I don't know how they're going to mesh.
Yeah, I don't know either, but maybe it all starts with the mindset. Everything starts with the mindset. If you go in, if you're a Lance Stephenson, and you go inside of that franchise knowing that LeBron is the number one option and you have to listen to what he say because he's been here before thousands of times, then you're going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So JaVale McGee knows he's already won 2 championships back-to-back, so he already has that championship mindset. I think he'd be okay. Lance Stephenson and LeBron might have to have a discussion, and Magic, they might have to have a discussion, and I think things will work out.
Mm-hmm. All right, so today is the, I believe, 7-year anniversary of Section 80 by Kendrick Lamar. Thoughts on that album? When you first heard that album, how did it affect you?
Oh, man, when I first heard that album, I was in high school, and that was actually the first album that really got me hip to Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nostalgic whenever I hear ADHD or High Power. Like, those songs really bring me back to my high school days.
And last question for you. What do you think about the new Drake album, and where does it rank on your list of best Drake albums? Have you had a chance to listen to it a few times?
Yeah, I was actually discussing this on my new podcast by the name of The Summary, and it's amazing. I like it a lot. It's very versatile. You have songs that could you could love listening to in a car, that you could love listening to working out, in a party, you know. But in my ranking, I put it at, please don't crucify me, but I put it at number 2.
Behind?
Behind Take Care.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for you today on WKAR's Current Sports. My name is Ian Hawley, filling in for Al Martin. Take care, people, and be easy.